Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
And we are back for a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. Right here on KOAL 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM, live from the Auto Forum Studios. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Love being with you in the afternoon as we talk both local and national sports. Heavy talk on the local front today. There's a lot to get into. Last night, it was a terrific evening for high school basketball here in the Castle Country. The Emory Spartans knocking off the number one ranked team in 3A South Sevier by a final score of 64-59. I thought it was a terrific performance all the way around from Emory. Played very well defensively. Cade Brazier shot the lights out. 27 points off of the pine last night, including 8 makes from beyond the arc. If you missed it last night, we caught up with Cade, and we'll play that interview for you today. I always love getting the local athletes on the show as well. So our interview last night with Cade Brazier, that is coming up on the show today. On our sister station, KRPX 95.3, the Peak, the Carbon Dinos picked up a big win. They knocked off JUAB, the number 2 ranked team in Region 14. So a big, big win for Carbon. For the most part, they have now locked up a spot in the 3A state championship tournament. Just looking at the way things are shaking out in Region 14. Carbon has a chance to really make a statement this week. They'll take on Providence Hall, the last unbeaten team in that division. That'll take place tomorrow, 6:30 start time for the broadcast, 7 p.m. tip-off. We'll talk with Coach Kyle Wilson next segment. He'll join us on the Coach's Corner as we talk about last night's victory. A lot of great stuff on the local basketball front. So again, heavy emphasis there on today's show. So before we get to the local sports, let's talk national sports. And the Utah Jazz are in the headlines today. We did talk about the trade deadline on yesterday's show. And I basically said, look, if I'm the Utah Jazz, I'm going after Kevin Love. I don't hate the idea of the report that came out today. Tony Jones, who used to be with the Salt Lake Tribune, now of the Athletic, reporting that the Jazz have spoken to the Memphis Grizzlies but have not made a formal offer about point guard Mike Conley. I like this. I like it a lot. And I'll tell you why. I'm through with the idea of Utah holding cap space for free agency. I'm done with it. Make a move. Use the assets that you have. Build a team. Dennis Lindsay, to me, is one of the smartest GMs in the game today. I love how this guy can construct. I love the puzzle pieces that he fits together. He's cut from that San Antonio Spurs cloth. I get it. But I think the Jazz are close. And waiting on free agency only affects the current group you have negatively if you strike out. And the Jazz have struck out plenty in free agency. Keeping their own homegrown talent, they've struck out. Get the pieces you need. Make a run right now. That's my view on the Utah Jazz. And it's not just Mike Conley. There are other reports surfacing that the Jazz are interested in Otto Porter. Both really make sense, and we can discuss this a little bit later on in the show, but I think ahead of that February 7th trade deadline, the Jazz need to be one of the more active teams in the Western Conference. And I'm going to tell you why the Jazz need to be active right now. We can rehash this a little bit later. There are teams in the Western Conference that are only going to get better. Right now, the Los Angeles Lakers are on the outside of the playoffs looking in. They have LeBron James. They're linked to Anthony Davis. The Lakers are going to get better over the next couple of seasons. The San Antonio Spurs, they're savvy. I think right now they're one of the more underrated teams in the NBA. I wouldn't want to play them in a 7-game set. The Spurs may make a move at the deadline. They're only going to get better. Golden State is Golden State, right? That's the pinnacle. I think they're vulnerable. I think they're more vulnerable this year than they have been over the last three. The West, to me, is wide open outside of Golden State. And I see teams getting better in the very near future. And as far as free agency goes for the Jazz, I don't care about the cap space anymore. I said this on the show yesterday. I'm done with it. Because free agency has not been kind to the Jazz. They somehow managed to retain Derek Favors this offseason with a very friendly deal. I love that. And we can talk about his trade value a little bit later on in the show. But free agency hasn't been kind to the Jazz. And when you strike out time and time again in free agency, it only affects the current group you have, which I like this current group a lot. It's time to make a play. It's time to make a push and do something at the deadline. I love Dennis Lindsay. I'm a huge Dennis Lindsay guy. I think this is the right time for the Utah Jazz to strike. We'll talk more about that a little bit later on in the show. Taking a look at some of the other headlines, speaking of the trade deadline, the New York Knicks have made Tim Hardaway Jr., Courtney Lee available, as well as Enes Kanter. Those are the three names that the New York Knicks will make available for the trade deadline. Good luck getting rid of Hardaway. That contract is massive. I don't know how you're going to be able to move away from that. And as Kanter, I don't know if anybody wants him or not. He shows signs. But the Knicks, they're in the same situation as the Grizzlies or the Cavaliers. And again, we'll save the trade talk a little bit later on here on the show. Some bad news for the Indiana Pacers. Again, it was a team that we talked about yesterday. I thought it was a team that could go all in. They were delivered a massive blow last night. Victor Oladipo is out for the season with a knee injury, diagnosed as a ruptured quad tendon. He's out for the rest of the year. Per official announcement from the team, Oladipo's MRI revealed that he suffered the ruptured quad tendon in his right knee. Late in the second quarter, Indiana defeated Toronto last night, 110-106. Heartbreaking news. I mean, Victor Oladipo, who I think is just a classy kid all the way. Pacers are a number 3 seed right now in the Eastern Conference. Oladipo leads the team in scoring just under 20 per game. And he ranks 2nd in the NBA 5.2 assists. Didn't work out for him in OKC. It's been a seamless fit for him in Indiana. And I thought the Pacers were going to be major players in the Eastern Conference. I'm not so sure now. This is a massive blow to this Indiana Pacer team. Victor Oladipo, again, out for the season. Tomorrow, we are going to talk a lot of Major League Baseball. Already got this planned out. We're going to talk Hall of Fame and free agency. But there is some news to note today in Major League Baseball. The Los Angeles Dodgers have agreed to a 5-year contract with A.J. Pollock. Love this signing for the Dodgers. Free agency, to me, has been a lot of fun in Major League Baseball this year. I think a lot of big squads have gone with the lower-profile signings. You know, LeMahieu to the Yankees, Pollock to the Dodgers. I like it a lot. It's a $55 million contract over the first 4 years. Pollock could earn an opt-out after year 3 if he reaches set numbers and plate appearances. The fifth-year option would be at $10 million with a $5 million buyout. So Pollock is going to be with the Dodgers for the foreseeable future. And the reason I like this, the Dodgers are loaded with left-handed hitters. A.J. Pollock is going to give them a consistent bat towards the end of the lineup in center field. I like it. He's only 31. I don't think he's reached his prime yet. His first 7 seasons have been with the Arizona Diamondbacks. He had 257, 21 home runs, 65 runs brought in last season. All-Star Gold Glove winner in 2015. Hasn't really been able to get back to that form over the last couple of years. But again, he's a great all-around player. And the Dodgers needed some help after trading Puig and Matt Kemp to Cincinnati. But now rumors are surfacing that the Dodgers are looking to move on from Jock Peterson. Now, the Dodgers have been linked to Bryce Harper, but it looks now that the team is focused on a potential trade with the Marlins for JT Realmuto. So, you know what? It seemed like Bryce Harper, the Dodgers, was a foregone conclusion after LA moved Puig and Kemp. They go out and they get Pollock today, and I'm like, okay, I can see where this is going. Going to trade Jock Peterson? Going to make a move for Bryce Harper? I don't think so. I think with this move right here, the Dodgers turn their attention to Realmuto. Probably going to have to include Jock Peterson. You have Alex Verdugo waiting in the wing. To me, I think the Dodgers stay away from Bryce Harper. I mean, that's how we sit right now. Curious to see what other moves the Dodgers make, but here we are on January 24th, and Harper still is not signed, and the Dodgers give a lengthy contract, semi-lengthy contract to A.J. Pollock. I don't know. I was talking to someone in the know today that said they believe that the Dodgers were still in play for Harper, but to me, it's looking more and more like it's got to be Philly or Washington. I'm just looking at it from my own perspective. That's no knowledge of it. I've been told that the Dodgers are still in on Harper. But who knows at this point? Let's see what the next couple of days hold as the Dodgers now try to move on from Joc Pederson, if they can do that successfully. We'll take a look at the scoreboard schedule in the NBA. Very short slate of games tonight, but we do have doubleheader action on national television. First game in the NBA schedule tonight will begin at 6 p.m. We get Golden State on the road to take on the Washington Wizards. The Wizards are going to be linked to a lot of teams as far as the trade deadline goes. And again, we're but a mere 2 weeks away from that deadline. Start time for this Golden State-Washington game, 6 p.m. It is on TNT. Also at 6 o'clock tonight, the Pelicans are on the road to take on the Oklahoma City Thunder. We get the Portland Trailblazers on the road against the Phoenix Suns at 7 p.m. And in the second game of the doubleheader on TNT, the Minnesota Timberwolves will take on the LeBron James-less Lakers at 8:30. That's a quick look at what's happening at the national sports front. A lot of local sports coming your way. We're going to give you the recap from last night, the schedule for tonight, and then we'll talk to Coach Kyle Wilson, and we'll hear from Cade Brazier, Emory High School senior, plus some Utah Jazz trade chatter as well. It's all straight ahead here on this Thursday edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. We are live from the Auto Farm Studios. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And we will begin with high school basketball, where last night on KOAO 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, the Emory Spartan boys squad earned a 64-59 win over the South Sevier Rams at home at the Spartan Center. Emory got off to a great start. They led 8-1 early on in the contest, and despite several runs from South Sevier, Emory led for the majority of the game, including the entire second half. The Spartans were led by senior Cade Brazier, who poured in a season-best 27 points as he knocked down 8 shots from beyond the arc. Emory also got a big boost from Kyson Stilson, who continued his recent tear, scoring 18 points. The win last night for Emory moves the team to 4-3 in region play and brings them within one game of South Sevier and Richfield for the top spot in the Region 15 standings. Emory will have an opportunity to continue their winning ways when they return to the court tomorrow to take on the Richfield Wildcats. Start time for this contest is set for 7 p.m. Live coverage will begin at 6:30 with the Landon's Diesel Service pregame show on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. We stick with boys high school basketball, but we move over to Carbon. And last night, the Dinos defeated the JUAB Wasps 59-58, overcoming a late push from JUAB, including a potential game-winning basket. Now, the win for Carbon moves the Dinos to 3-5 overall. Carbon was once again led by Derek Hillam, who led the team in scoring and knocked down 4 of 6 shots from beyond the arc. Now, Carbon, sitting at 3-5 in region play, has just 4 games remaining on the region schedule. Next, they'll play host to Providence Hall. This game will be on Friday, and it will give the Dinos an opportunity to basically wrap up a spot in the upcoming state tournament. With only 4 to go, Carbon has a 3-game lead on Macer Prep and a 2-game lead on ALA. 6 out of the 7 squads from this division will advance to the state tournament. Live coverage of Friday's contest will begin at 6:30 p.m. with the Landon's Diesel Service pregame show on KRPX 95.3 The Peak. Tip-off will follow shortly after at 7. We move over to high school wrestling, and tonight the Emory Spartans will wrap up the regular season portion of the schedule as they travel on the road to meet Duchesne. Emory is fresh off a dominating home duel this past Tuesday as they defeated the Manti Templars 60-21. Emory won all 7 junior varsity matchups and then dominated varsity, winning 11-14. Again, shifting their focus on the road today against the Duchesne Eagles, it'll be the final preparation for Emory before the divisional tournament next week, February 1st and 2nd in Richfield, which is the last competition to get qualified for the state meet, which will take place on February 8th and 9th. Emory High School Wrestling again will wrap up the regular season tonight on the road against the Duchesne Eagles. Now, the Carbon High School Wrestling team will also return to the mat tonight, and they will wrap up the regular season portion of their schedule as they travel on the road to meet the Grand Red Devils. Tonight's action will again prepare Carbon for the divisionals next week, February 1st and 2nd, which works as a qualifier for the state meet the following week. Both Carbon and Emory swim squads will return to the pool today for their region competition. Emory will play host at the Emory County Aquatic Center, while Carbon will travel on the road. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We will go over the results from tonight's meet as soon as they become available. Now both Carbon and Emory girls basketball teams will also return to action this evening. The Lady Dinos will travel on the road to meet Providence Hall at 7 p.m. Emory, on the flip side, will play host to the Richfield Wildcats. That contest is also scheduled to begin at 7. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
We got a lot of high school basketball to talk about today. We're going to start it off right now. Last night, the Carbon Dinos on our sister station, KRPX 95.3 The Peak, pick up a one-point win over the Juab Wasps. Big win for Carbon. I mean, really, that's a big, big win. The Dinos seem to be hitting their stride at the right time, and they give Juab, the number two team in the region, another loss. Yeah, joining us right now to talk a bit about that and more, we have Coach Kyle Wilson over the phone right now. Coach, a pleasure to always get you on. Thank you again for the time today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Coach, we got a fun one to talk about. Last night, a one-point win over the Juab Wasps at home. Every game from here on out is extremely important for this basketball team, but I just felt like the emphasis on last night's game, it was a game in which you guys really needed, and I think this victory moving forward against the second-best team in Region 14 could do wonders for this Carbon squad. You guys had to grit one out and fortunately came out with a one-point win.
Yeah, and last night, talking to my guys before the game, I just tried to give them confidence and let them understand that, season's not over. It's not even close, now we're two games into the second half of region and a lot of winnable games ahead of us. And I had faith in them, and they just got to kind of believe in themselves and each other. We played them before, and, when we had Juab, we shot terrible. We still made it a game. And last night, we came out playing really well. We shot the ball well early, and we kind of set the tone, and basketball nowadays, a game of runs for the most part. And we were able to sustain ours when we needed to and limit theirs when they were trying to, get something going. So, all in all, last night, yeah, big win, and it should give us confidence, going into tomorrow night against Providence Hall.
And you guys perform well in the third quarter, Coach. That's kind of been the quarter that's been a little bit of a letdown for this team over the last few days. Boys came out, just played even with Juab. And I know, just going over, 5, 6, 7 games this season, if you guys had an even third quarter, you got 4 or 5 more wins this year.
Yeah. That's kind of been our Achilles heel for most of the games we've lost. And at halftime, it was a pretty simple game plan. We adjusted some defensive stuff, and I said, offensively, just run. I said, let's just go. Whatever you do, let's just go. Let's just go. Don't stop in the third quarter. And I think that kind of gave them a little bit of energy coming out. We only scored 11 points, but, holding that team to 11 points when we're trying to get up and down the floor, I'll take any day of the week. And luck of the draw on my end, it worked a little bit. So, I was happy with the way they came out the third quarter.
To no surprise, Derek Hillam has another outstanding game. Scores 28 points, shoots over 50% from the field. Coach, every time you and I talk, we can talk about Derek Hillam doing the right things out of the basketball court, but it's that supporting cast. And I know Ty Anderson has played well since he returned from the wrist injury. Last night he has 13 points again. I mean, having the second punch, out of that 1-2, does wonders for a team offensively. Ty seemed to fit that bill last night.
Yeah, and there are times when Ty's, going to score some points. And one thing he's going to have going for him, he's got a motor that never quits. He's gonna give it everything he's got. He's not very big, but he's going to give you every ounce that he has. And he played 32 minutes last night. He didn't come out of the game, and everybody else got a break. But I didn't even realize it until after the game. I actually texted him, and I said, hey, did you come out of the game? And he said, no. And I was like, so I didn't even notice. It's not like we even, he doesn't get tired. So that's fantastic that I have a point guard that really never gets tired. But he had 13 points, and he hit 2 threes. He's not, necessarily, air quotes, a three-point shooter, but, he shot the ball well. And, you know, Colin Lewis scored when he needed to and hit some big shots. And you know, Preston Condi comes in off the bench and hits a three. You know, Bradford comes in off the bench and hits a three. And so, you know, we had a lot of guys contributing last night, you know, offensively and defensively. You know, Braxton Bennett, you know, he didn't have a great offensive game, but he was one heck of a defender last night and rebounded the ball. You know, offense, got a couple offensive rebounds. So, yeah, I mean, supporting cast, you know, and Derek's Derek, and I'm amazed on some things that happens every time I watch Derek play, and I've watched him play for 4 years, you know, year-round stuff. And, I mean, yeah, he had 28 last night and even a little bit of foul trouble. So, but, you know, when he gets going, those other guys suit up with him, and they'll, you know, they're a team, and they'll go through the trenches together.
Coach, you mentioned the way you guys shot the long ball last night. I believe you hit 11 threes. I don't have the statistics in front of me. I think it was 10 or 11 threes. But, and I think you and I have talked about this before. I'm aware of the analytical approach. If you run like the Grinnell system, you know, if you run Grinnell and you hit 13 or 14 3-point shots, I think the percentage of you winning is like 82% or something like that. That's for college. I mean, high school, I don't know. Do you pay attention to the analytics in that regard where if you hit X amount of 3-point shots, a percentage of you guys winning? I mean, is that even a factor to you as a head coach?
You know, it comes into play. You know, I mean, as long as – in my head, I look at quality of possession more than I do, you know, how many threes we hit or how many threes we shoot. I look at quality of possession. You know, when we're up, and even if we miss a shot, if it's a high-quality possession, you know, and there's a lot that comes into that, in, you know, on my opinion, and every coach has a different opinion on quality of possession. But, you know, if we're up there, you know, we're approaching 60 – you know, if we're 60 or above on quality possessions, we win. So, you know, it's when we go down and, you know, one pass, chuck up shot, or just, you know, force stuff without moving the ball, or just force stuff in general. You know, that's what takes you down in a hurry. You know, especially playing against other, you know, teams that like to get up and down a lot. You know, then you're the less quality possessions, you know, you have, obviously, the less successful you're going to be.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Kyle Wilson of the Carbondale boys basketball team. Coach, you mentioned it, season's not even close to being done. I think, you know, anytime you have a single elimination tournament, it's all about peaking at the right time. And if you guys find a way to get a win tomorrow against Providence Hall, you're turning some heads, and obviously that's a confidence boost. Tomorrow, I think, is a great gauge for this team, and as far as stepping, you know, in the right direction of peaking as we hit that February mark.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, and you know, my coaching staff and I have been preaching, you know what, guys, keep working hard. Keep working hard or good things are going to happen. And, you know, my one assistant coach, Taylor Brower, keeps, you know, and earlier in the year, like I guess it was 1st of January, he said, you know what, we can start to see the change, and he told them, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. So, yeah, if we could, you know, get some confidence and keep the confidence moving forward, it's going to be huge for these guys. You know, we can get a couple more guys seeing some shots going in. It's just not going to be anything but good things, you know, for the team. You know, I'm playing Providence tomorrow. You know, we know what we're getting when we go, you know, when they show up tomorrow. And we played them really well last time. You know, we had a couple lulls. I think that was one of our third quarter lulls. But, you know, we were right there, you know, played the foul game at the end and ended up, you know, kind of, you know, I think it was like 11 or 12. But, you know, we were right there. And, you know, with my group of guys, what I can say for the most part is they don't stop. You know, shots might not be going in. They might be making some stupid decisions. But they're not going to stop trying hard. They're not going to stop. They're not going to stop playing. And, you know, I've been preaching that all year, and I think it's finally starting to take hold. And I think they're seeing it a little bit. So I hope we keep going with that.
You mentioned the previous loss to Providence Hall. You guys were right in that game. Third quarter was the difference. I believe it was 16-7, 17-7. Providence Hall outscored you by 9-10 points in that quarter. But, Coach, going back to that first game, Providence Hall, they have some size, and they know how to use it. Did that stand out to you in that game?
Yeah, you know, they are big. And they got the Sherwood kid who's, what, 6'6", 6'5", six, I don't even know what he is, but he's tall. They got another kid who's just a big body, and he's about 6'4". But, you know, They do. We made it look good, in my opinion. We made them look really good, just because of, you know, some of the rotations defensively we were trying to accomplish and just weren't getting there. But you know, we're better at that now, and you know, it's just I'm excited to see what's going to happen tomorrow, because it comes back to if we shoot the ball well, we have those quality possessions where we're shooting the ball well, and I think we could come away with a win. I'm not saying easily, but you know, really, I mean, a high chance.
Definitely helps that you guys are playing at home, Coach. I think if you go over the last 9 games, this team has won 6 out of the last 9, if I'm not mistaken, or 5 out of the last 8, which means you guys are playing better basketball. You talk about Coach Brower and what he says, you know, about it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Growth-wise, from the last time you guys saw Providence Hall, and it wasn't, you know, I guess it wasn't a long, long time ago, but I mean, it was before Christmas. I mean, we're over a month ago, Coach. It looks like a completely different team to me.
Oh, yeah. You know, it really is. You know, we're playing a lot better. We're playing a lot harder. You know, we went down with some, you know, into a couple injuries, and some other guys had to step up a little bit. So those guys had to step up. You know, now they're back to coming off the bench a little bit. You know, with like a Noah Bradford, you know, and you know, Caleb Nelson always gets a lot of minutes, but he had a ton of minutes over Christmas break and things like that. So, you know, it's just guys getting experience and understanding what it takes to win. You know, so yeah, I mean, we are a different team. You know, and you know, Derek Hillam's got a lot of confidence going right now, and he's a different player compared, you know, from that last Providence game to now, which makes a huge difference. And you know, and we understand that, you know, teams are going to try to stop him, Juab tried last night. It didn't work out that well. So,
yeah.
It's just amazing to see the things that we can accomplish when we put our mind to it, and we have confidence.
Looking at the schedule, this is the last home game tomorrow night, correct?
Yep.
So it's amazing. It's amazing how fast this goes, Coach. Obviously, there's that emotional factor for some of these seniors. It's the last time they're going to put on that white uniform and walk out on this home court. It's always great to send the seniors out on a positive note. You guys have a great opportunity here again, taking on an unbeaten team in region play that you fared well against on the road. Playing at home, and the final home game of the year, no less, Coach, does that bring a different element to the game?
You know, it does. And sometimes it can be a good thing, and sometimes it can be a bad thing, because, you know, if they get too emotional, too hyped up, you know, that's never a good thing. They come out and they're trying to go 1,000 miles an hour. But if they can find that happy medium where, you know, they're excited, that motivation, you know, that little extra motivation they might need is there, but they also understand what they need to do to accomplish, you know, the goal in winning the game. You know, if we can find that happy medium, I can see a lot of good things happening.
We'll end with this, Coach. You did mention injuries and certain players having to step up. As we get into the final 4 games of region play, is this team as healthy as could be expected at this point?
Yeah. You know, I think we are ish. I mean, I think we got a couple guys that are still just not 100%, but I think they're getting better as we go, you know, and you know, we got this week and next week, and, you know, we got a bye mixed in there. And so I think, you know, like I said, if we can keep our confidence up, we can keep rolling and playing as a team and just playing hard for 32 minutes, you know, we're just going to keep getting better each game we go.
Well, solid win last night, Coach. Congratulations on that. Best of luck tomorrow against Providence Hall. And as always, it's a pleasure to get you on to talk about the team. Thank you.
Well, thank you. It was nice to talk to you.
Great stuff from Coach Kyle Wilson of the Carbon Dinos. Tomorrow night, Carbon at home, final home game of the season as they take on Providence Hall. If they can knock off the number 1 and number 2 teams in the region in the same week, that would be golden for the Carbon Dinos. Have a chance to move up in the division standings ahead of the state tournament. Live coverage of tomorrow night's contest will begin at 6:30 p.m. Tip-off is set for 7. We've got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m. We flip back over to the local sports scene, and last night on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, the Emory Spartan boys basketball team defeated the South Sevier Rams 64-59. In that game, Cade Brazier led the way with 27 points as he knocked down 8 3-point shots. Following the victory, he sat down at the broadcast booth after being named the Groggs Player of the Game.
Cade, excellent performance tonight. Congratulations on the win.
Thanks.
How does it feel to be playing starter minutes? Because you and I have talked since you've come back. Slow process, but tonight you played starter minutes. How do you feel?
It was a very slow process, but it's so fun getting back and starting to see the version of myself I was before and playing those minutes. So, yeah, it was just a lot of fun, and I'm super blessed to be able to do it.
You're definitely the previous version of yourself tonight. There's no doubt about it. And you showed a little emotion. You got a little excited when you knocked out a couple of those three-point shots. Well, that's awesome to see. You were filled it. How big did the basket look?
It seemed pretty big. My teammates just did a great job of giving me the ball, driving and kicking it out. And Brax, how he just draws in the defense, it's really nice. So they got me good looks.
It's an unselfish team. You guys definitely play together. Over the last three games, it's Kyson Stilson that's been scoring the basketball. He's fresh off a 46-point performance. He was getting you the ball. You know, it's acceptable for a heat check at that point in time, right? You knocked down four shots from deep. You could put up a heat check, right?
Yeah, definitely.
What was Coach Jeffs telling you in the huddle? He tell you just keep shooting?
Yeah, just keep shooting, catch the shoot. Like, down in the corner, I hesitated, and then I got the ball right back, and I shot it, and I went in. And so, yeah, I just need to keep on doing that, catch to shoot.
This was a big game for you guys tonight. You definitely needed this one. Taking a look at the way the region standings are sitting, and Manti beat Richfield tonight as well. So looking at it, Sal Sevier, Richfield both lose. You guys are back within one game of taking over first place in the region. That puts a big smile on your face.
Yeah, that's awesome. So glad to hear.
Yeah, well, you guys are right there. You kind of you don't control your own destiny, but in a sense you do. I mean, if you guys can get a win on Friday night, I mean, boom, region championship is once again a realistic goal.
Yeah, that's our plan. Go to Richfield. We know it's going to be tough. It's tough playing there, and they have really tough defense, and we're going to bring them on defense as well, so that's our plan.
Have you noticed a difference with this team playing at home compared to on the road?
I would say there's a difference. I would just say that it's nice to have our fans behind our back and to help us out that way, and we're more familiar with this court, so...
It's bigger. It's a bigger court.
Yeah, it is bigger.
That is an advantage. I was talking to Coach Jeffs earlier today, and you know, he talked about the focus just being on the defensive side of the ball. You guys score 100 points and lose on Friday. That rarely happens. I mean, it may never happen again. In fact, I believe only two schools scored 100 points on Friday. Just so happened that we played the other one, right?
Yeah.
So defensively, was it just back to the basics this week? Is that kind of the way you guys approached it?
Yeah, we just... on Monday and on Tuesday, we focused mainly on defense, and we ran lots of drills and really worked us, and our legs were definitely feeling it, but it was good for us at the same time, so because it made us push harder in this game, and I think it's good. If we just get after on D, it shows more on offense, and we get that confidence on offense. So.
This team kind of has the identity of that extended 2-3 zone, but you guys have played a lot of man this year as well. What do you prefer, man or the zone?
For this team, I'd say man. Back in the day when we had bigger players like the Butler boys, and zone was good for us. But I like man for this team because we steal the ball. Brax Cash do a good job of that. And Rance, Mason, they're good at stealing the ball. So if you could do that and get the ball in transition, it's good for us.
Obviously, anytime you score 27 points, it's going to feel good. Feels a lot better after a win when you beat a team like South Sevier.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a consistent squad that you know is going to bring it. They're never out of the game.
They aren't. We went into halftime, and we knew that we won the half, but we got a whole other half to play, and that's what you got to do. You got to fight till the end.
I want to talk to you about your confidence, because I would assume that's something that comes along as you get your lungs, as you get your feet, as you get your legs back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Confidence got to be at an all-time high after that, right? I mean, you don't even worry about that anymore. You're catching, you're shooting. You're the old Cade Brazier now. You don't have to worry about that, right?
Yeah, I would say so, but I got to keep my composure, and can we're going to physical therapy and getting better and strengthening, like, I can't even dunk. Yeah, I'm still getting back.
Oh, boy, you can't even dunk. Look, 3 points is better than two, right?
Yeah, true. But it's still nice to have that explosiveness.
No, absolutely. Playing on a team that doesn't have a lot of size, you got to use that explosiveness, especially down low.
For rebounding and boxing out, just playing against physical players like Tyson Chisholm. And, yeah, so it's nice to have that.
You got to. I saw you a couple of times go man-to-man up on Tyson. I mean, that's a big boy.
I called the coach. I'm like, give me Tyson, and I'm glad that Coach trusted me with that because I knew that I could stop him.
What is the – last time I talked to you, we went over the, I guess, the resting portion of your rehab. Is it still the same, or have you kind of progressed a little bit? I mean, where are you at as far as making sure that you stay healthy moving forward?
I still do physical therapy 3 times a week. Actually, we have an away game, so like it's 2 times a week now, and then, yeah, just rest, ice, and that's pretty much my game plan, my post game.
I got to ask you, what's the locker room like after a win against Al Sevier?
Oh, we were so excited, and it was nice to see me and all the other teammates just having a good time in there, and got the weight off our shoulders, got our confidence, and it's nice.
Well, it was a well-deserved victory. Fantastic performance from you tonight, Cade. Let's keep it going. Let's get a win on Friday. That's a big one.
Yeah. I'm excited for it.
All right. It's a school night, so I'm going to let you go. But again, thank you for stopping by the booth. Congratulations on the win, Cade, and we'll talk to you in Richfield.
Thanks.
This is Derek Favors, number 15 from the Utah Jazz. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
3-point game, Harris. Pick and roll, Favors takes it strong and one. Oh my, watch Derek Favors take a leap right here.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. KOL 107.3 FM, 750 AM, live from the Auto Forum studio. We'll talk more NBA basketball. I love the fact that the trade deadline is in 2 weeks, well before the All-Star game. Really gets rid of the distraction and the awkwardness from a player media perspective. The whole DeMarcus Cousins deal a couple of years back, I think, taught the NBA a lesson. Have the trade deadline before the All-Star break. Don't let it mar the All-Star break. And the way teams are going to be trying to shed cap space, that's going to be a very big topic. See, the NBA, the collective bargaining agreement in the NBA, I think it's bogus. I haven't been a fan of it. And I know there's so many ins and outs. I'm going to look at it from a real simplistic point of view. The NBA has two levels you want to be at right now. You want to be elite or you want to be bad, right? Because you can't spend money in the NBA. First off, the incentives were if a player becomes a member of the All-NBA team, he has the ability to max out his contract with his current team at this rate. That's bogus. It's no good. To me, that's a terrible, terrible quirk to the system because it puts smaller market teams who have good talent, not great talent, you're maxing out good talent. Okay, so to me, that's one of the problems with the current CBA. And if you needed an example of a team that has done just that, look no further than the Memphis Grizzlies. I mean, the Grizzlies had some of the worst contracts in the NBA on their squad. Mike Conley, who I like. Mike Conley went from being the most underrated player in the NBA to being the most overrated player by signing the deal that he signed with the Grizzlies. And I don't fault him about that. I don't fault him one bit. He signed in July of 2016. He signed the richest contract in NBA history. And credit to Mike Conley, he found a way to get paid. He got paid. Richest contract in NBA history in 2016. 2017, 2018, he made 6.9% more than what his contract said he was going to make in 2016. He's projected to be the 11th best player, best paid player in the NBA next year. 6th best paid guard this season. So contracts, some of them don't age well, but it sets the market. Mike Conley found a way to get paid, but it put the Grizzlies in a very poor situation. Okay, because Mike Conley, again, richest contract in the NBA for one season. Then you had Marc Gasol, and Marc Gasol has been a great player for the Grizzlies, but Gasol's not getting any younger, and he had the highest second trade kicker in the NBA at $10.2 million, according to Eric Pincus. He's making 6.5% more this year than he did in 2016, and he's the 32nd best paid NBA player this year. So at the time, the Grizzlies had some really bad deals because don't forget, Chandler Parsons is still on the books. This year, Mike Conley is making $30.5 million. Marc Gasol is making $24.1 million. Chandler Parsons is making $24.1 million. From a competitive standpoint, are the Grizzlies better off with the Supermax deals and being able to offer their own players more than other teams? Hell no. It's not even close. Right? So I have a problem with the current CBA, and I hope it gets fixed at some point in time. There was the idea of it protecting small markets. In my mind, it's hurt small markets. Because higher market teams would get good players at a lower price than small market teams are getting them. Mike Conley's not worth $30.5 million. He's not. The Conley deal looked terrible when it was a five-year contract. Now that we're down to 2.5 years, I don't hate it nearly as much. Next year, $32.5 million. 2020, $34.5 million. So he's getting $67 million between 2019, 2020, and then 2020, 2021. And to me, it's workable. And where I'm going with this is teams like the Grizzlies and teams like the Wizards, who sign these massive, massive deals to good players, not great players, they're going to try to trim cost because they are now in that situation that I'm talking about. You want to either be bad or you want to be great with this CBA. Being in the middle stinks. And I'll bring in Travis Anderson right now to finish off today's show as we talk about the Utah Jazz. And Travis, the Jazz connected to Mike Conley. There's a possibility that they could pull the trigger, bring him in. I was going over the contract numbers just a moment ago. The Jazz can make this matchup really easy if this is the guy that they want, because they have a very, very favorable complete contract with Derek Favors, which is a team option next season at $16.9 million, is making $16.9 million this year. You throw in Ricky Rubio at $14.8 million. He's a free agent at the end of the season. Boom. Contracts mesh. We're good. Favors, Rubio, you may need to throw in some other pieces.
Grayson Allen in a first-round pick.
I don't give up Grayson Allen. I'm not giving up Grayson Allen if I'm the Jazz. I'm not. He fits the mold of this team. He has struggled, I know, but I think there's still some positives there. I'm not giving him up. There's other avenues you could go to get this done. Grayson Allen's making like $2 million. Boy, if you wanted to, you could throw in Neto if you wanted to. I mean, there's ways to get this done. But what I'm saying is the Jazz have struck out in free agency for how many years? Right. If you feel that this team has what it takes to make a run, Mike Conley's a massive upgrade over Ricky Rubio. There's no question about that. I don't know that Rubio's ever fit in Utah the way I hoped he would. Remember, that was a deal that was done with the hopes that Gordon Hayward was coming back. It was for a different vision. If I'm the Jazz, I'm going all in. If all it's going to take is Derek Favors and Ricky Rubio and a side piece to get Mike Conley, I'm going for it.
Yeah, you might as well. If you think that you have a chance this year to make some noise in the Western Conference, you have to go out, be aggressive, and make a move. So there's your move. Mike Conley, he fits the mold of the Jazz.
I think he does.
Put him around Donovan Mitchell and go from that point. So yeah, the Jazz have to be aggressive because they're not going to sign free agents. You have to trade for him.
From an offensive standpoint, he helps out Mitchell because he may be one of the best spot-up shooters in the game right now. I'm seriously. That's what Mike Conley does very well. He's a great spot-up shooter. So to me, it would make sense for the Jazz to go this route. And again, I don't like the contract for Conley, but I don't hate it, knowing that there's only 2 years. And Derek Favors, at some point in time, the Jazz have to move on from Favors. I know he's a fan favorite, and I love the fact that this guy has stepped up. He's taken a decreased role to fit in, but I know what Derek Favors is. He's 27 years old. He's hit his ceiling. He's an 11.7 rebound per game guy. That's what Derek Favors is.
That's all you're going to get out of him.
And his contract is too valuable at this point in time to not get something for him.
Yeah, teams have already called on Derek Favors.
Sure,
Jazz,
they have.
Yeah, unwilling to move him. So you better move him if you're going to go out and get a Mike Conley, because you can't, you know, hold on to that guy, because like you said, he's reached the ceiling. He's an 11-7 guy, and that's it.
And I think that, again, I do believe that Mike Conley has hit his ceiling as well. But boy, again, he went from being one of the most underrated players in the league to being the most overpaid player in the league in one summer. And that's no negative towards him. It is what it is.
Hey, they're the ones that gave him the contract, so he's the one that signed it.
I'm going to go as far as saying this. If you make a move for Mike Conley, he is the best point guard the Utah Jazz have had since Deron Williams took the Jazz to the Western Conference Finals, and I don't even think it's close. I don't even think it's close.
No, I'm with you. He goes, you know, Stockton, D. Will, and if you get Conley, that's it. Those three.
So I think it's something that the Jazz need to consider. Now, another name that has been floated out there is Otto Porter, and I love this. I like the idea of Mike Conley. I love the idea of Otto Porter. And as far as the contract goes, it's even easier to hit that threshold to bring in Porter. Now, he's got a player option in 2021 that he is not going to decline. I don't know if you know what that number is.
Is it in the 20s?
28.4.
Yeah, I knew it was high. I just didn't know how high in the 20s it was.
He's not going to decline that. I guarantee you he does not decline that. But here's the thing about Otto Porter. If you acquire him, the Jazz are very close to playing positionless basketball. And that's what I like. Otto Porter can play multiple positions on the court, right? If you got to give up Derek Favors, I don't know that you give up Ricky Rubio because then you're kind of it's stale come the point guard spot, maybe. I don't know. You want to run Dante Exum. I don't know what you want to do. You can't rely on Exum.
He's always hurt.
I agree with you there, too.
Same with Nato. You don't want to rely on that. You got to keep Rubio in that scenario if you get Otto Porter.
But the idea, the versatility that you could, the quote-unquote death lineups, as they call them.
He can stretch the floor, knock down the floor, limitless. Yeah.
It's limitless for the Jazz. They need to make a play for one of these two guys. I was talking about Kevin Love on the show yesterday. Make a play for Porter or make a play for Conley. Because, again, as you continue to strike out in free agency, which they will, they will continue to strike out on free agency. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. I'm just being realistic. They're not going to land anyone massive in free agency. It's not going to happen. You're going to have to use your assets to build this team around Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. And if you start winning, then maybe you get a good piece. But until that happens, the Jazz are going to have to build this team through trades. Make a play for Porter. Make a play for Conley. Get one of these two guys before the trade deadline. I think it's that simple.
Yeah, it's building through trades in the draft. That's the only way the Jazz can be competitive because, like you said, nobody's coming to Utah to play. You know, it's not
free agency.
A downer. It's just the truth and the reality of it.
I'm with you. Hey, we got a break one last time. We'll come back with the final touches on this edition of the show when we return right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Hey, let's get back to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on 750 AM KOAL.
Back to put the final touches on this edition of the show. It's a fun one. I want to thank Coach Kyle Wilson for taking up the time to come on today. Tomorrow, we're going to talk more local basketball. We'll be joined by Coach Vando with the USU Eastern Eagles. And I want to talk baseball in the Hall of Fame. Haven't talked about Mariano Rivera becoming the first unanimous selection into baseball's Hall of Fame. We'll be joined by Steve Bortstein to talk about that tomorrow. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Have a terrific Thursday. Be safe. We are out. Brian Kilmeade is coming up next.